If you missed adult Sunday school class, I tell you, you do miss a blessing. We have a good time in adult Sunday school class. Amen. And Peter was telling the church of how he would put them in remembrance, and he endeavored to put them in remembrance. He wanted to keep them reminded of what God had done and what God is going to do. I'm glad to tell you this morning that he's faithful. Amen. I'm glad to tell you this morning that he's still doing everything that he said he could do, that he would do, and that he wants to do. I'm thankful this morning that in him we have everything we need in every circumstance. If you have found Genesis 21 this morning, we'd invite you to stand with us if you would as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. We'll begin reading in verse number 9 of Genesis chapter 21. The Bible says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because the lad, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son, of the son of the bondwoman, will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace this morning? Hagar is the struggling mother here in chapter number 21. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody preach much on Hagar. And when we hear preaching about Hagar, we always hear it in a negative sense and in a negative light. And as we find over in Galatians chapter 4, Apostle Paul is writing the allegory or the story of Sarah and Hagar, the allegory of the child of bondage and the child of the promise, and how we see Hagar in not so shining a light. Hagar, there's a lot about Hagar's life and about her that really shows forward. And God just put Hagar on my mind. I wasn't even really thinking about preaching about a woman in the Bible or a mother in the Bible. I just wanted to preach what God wanted me to preach. And early in this week, he laid Hagar on my mind. And I'm thinking of all the great godly women in the Bible. Why Hagar? What is it about Hagar? And I struggled and I searched. And there's a lot of things about Hagar that are relevant to many lives today. Moms, some of you can relate to being a struggling mother. We have a lot of single moms in this world today. We have a lot of moms that are working moms, and they're trying to balance work and their family, and they're struggling. We have a lot of moms who are overwhelmed in motherhood and are trying to do what they can, but what they're struggling, how with everything that's going on, how we have a lot of moms today how that are just blessed of the Lord and just don't realize how blessed they are. And they go through life and they try to do things on their own and in their own way. And they just find themselves working hard and trying to do everything that they need to do. And it just seems like they're coming up short. I think Hagar kind of fits that picture. She kind of fits that ability. Her life is messed up. Her life gets just kind of twisted up in so many ways. Sometimes it's because of her circumstance. She's a slave. She's a bondwoman. And she doesn't have a lot of freedom to make her own choices. Sometimes it's because she's used of those of whom she's trying to serve. Sometimes it's because of the pride that wells up in her own heart, and she becomes her own problem. She becomes her own worst enemy. Sometimes it's because of the rejection. As we study Hagar, and we can see her life, we can see a mirror of America. We can see a mirror of our church. We can see a mirror of ourselves today. And folks, this message isn't just for the moms. This message is for every one of us. In the text that we read to you this morning, in verse 17, God asked Hagar a question, and it's the point of our message this morning. He says, "What aileth thee? What aileth thee? What are you dealing with this morning? What are you struggling with this morning? What are you fighting with this morning? Are you fighting with the circumstances of life and all that you're dealing with? Are you fighting and ailed and struggling with all that Hagar was dealing with maybe in her life? Are you going through those same things being used by people? And people will use you. Amen. People will use you, and people will abuse you, and people will leave you hurt, people will leave you scarred, and people will leave you in a place where you never thought that you'd find yourself, especially with these people. Let me tell you this morning, God never will. Amen. God's a healer. God's a restorer. Amen. God might break you so that he can fix you. Sometimes we got to get broke before we can get mended. Amen. And God will take you there. Sometimes we've allowed our pride to cause the problems that we have in our life. And just like Hagar, it causes and brings issues into us. And sometimes we just feel rejection. Let me tell you what. God, I said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are brokenhearted, heavy laden, wearied, overburdened, ailed." And guess what? He said, "I'll give you rest." Amen. Hagar is a great picture of what we're going through. And this morning, just think about your life. Think about where you're at. Think about what you're dealing with. And just think about how you've tried to deal with it. We fail to remember, and we fail sometimes to be reminded that in this world we have an adversary that wants to keep us in spiritual bondage. Amen. He wants to destroy us. And Peter wrote to the New Testament church, he said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour." You know, we can't lose our salvation, amen? But praise God, he can destroy you spiritually. He can beat you down spiritually. He can wear you out spiritually. He can put you in spiritual bondage, amen? And you'll sit there and wonder, I was trying to do everything right, but how did I get there? I was trying to make it right. If you look down in our text this morning, in verse number 10, how we see that clearly Hagar is a slave. She's a bondwoman. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." And Hagar realized, and Hagar knew that she was in bondage. And this morning, until you realize that you're in bondage, until you you realize that the devil has you right where he wants you, you're never going to get set free. Amen. To get set free, you got to be reminded, you got to know that you're in bondage and that you need to be set free. Amen. And Hagar, I believe, was reminded constantly of the fact that she was a bondwoman. If you go all the way back some 17 years prior in chapter number 16, it says that she was a bondwoman. She was Sarah's maid. She was a slave. And she was in bondage there. And yet, now we come 17 years later, she's still in bondage. And we see that for her bondage to be broken, for her freedom to be brought to her, she had to be broken. She had to be brought low so that God could lift her up. She was cast out. She was cast out. She wasn't even fit to be a bondwoman anymore. And she was cast out. The devil will bring you into spiritual bondage, and he'll keep you there. And Paul, he is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him over in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, the devil is trying to snare us. He's trying to bring us in bondage. He's trying to keep us in captivity. And when he gets you in captivity, and he can destroy your testimony, when he gets you in captivity, and he can destroy your hope, when he gets you in bondage, and he can destroy any vestige that you ever had of being a child of God, any vestige of being who you are and who you was, and who you should be. I didn't praise God. He's done with you, and he's wanting to cast you out because he's got other victims that he needs to break. He's got other victims that he needs to destroy. He's got other victims' lives that he wants to tear down. And as long as he can keep you in bondage, as long as he can keep his grip upon you until he destroys your spiritual being to the point to where you're just totally shot. And he's got no more use for you because he's done destroyed your credibility. He's done destroyed your testimony. He's done taken away your hope. And you want to get as far away from God. You run as far from God as you can get because you're tore down. You say, well, Pastor, that can't happen to me. Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can. We're all subject to it. He said, that he may recover them out of the snare of the devil. You see, the devil sets traps. Amen. How do they catch people to put them in bondage? Well, some of them were trapped. Amen. Some of them were trapped. Some of them were won in battle. There are different ways, but the devil, he has his ways, and he'll set his snares. He'll set his traps for you. And when he gets you, and when he catches you in that snare, he will destroy you. The Apostle Paul dealt with this over in Romans chapter 7, in verses 23 to 25. The Apostle says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. This is probably the greatest Christian that ever walked, the greatest Christian that ever wrote, the greatest Christian that ever preached, the greatest Christian with one of the greatest testimonies that you could ever have, is saying that he's brought into captivity, amen, into spiritual captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul is reminding us, Paul is telling us that there's none of us who are not subject to the wiles of the devil. There's none of us that are beyond being brought into captivity spiritually. You know, I was born in captivity, but I was set free one day because of Calvary. I was born in spiritual bondage, but one day in a little Baptist church, Jesus signed my pardon, my emancipation proclamation that had been signed, sealed, and delivered at Calvary. Praise God, I was mine because of what Jesus had did, and praise God, he still tries to catch me and bring me back into bondage spiritually, but I'm free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And hallelujah, I want you to know this morning, the devil might bring you down. He might bring you low. He might bring you into bondage, but Jesus can set you free. Amen. We let our circumstances, we let people and everything else keep us in bondage. But let me tell you what, Jesus can still set you free. Amen. Amen. What ails you this morning? What ails you this morning? We've been witnessing to some folks, and I hear all the snares. We're sharing in Sunday school this morning, all the snares that the devil has. Well, Pastor, I just don't go to church anymore. I went to such and such a church, and it was a bunch of hypocrites, and they were so full, and they were just so, and oh, there's a big name church, and everybody, and they just hurt me so bad, and I just don't go back. Let the church go. Amen. Let Jesus set you free.
Amen.
There's other churches that'll love you. There's other churches that'll preach you. Quit using excuses. Well, preacher, I just seen so many people in church. I was just hurt by so many people when I went to church. I just can't go anymore, and I just don't want to be around there. I can just go out here in the world, and I can be with the same kind of people. Hogwash. The devil's got you in bondage. Amen. Well, Pastor, I just don't have the time. You know, I'm just so busy, and Pastor, I've got this to do, and I've got that. I don't want to hear it. Ain't nobody got any more to do than I do.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't nobody does more than I do. And I ain't saying that braggingly. I work a full-time job. I pastor this church. I got a farm. Hey, man, my wife tell you, somebody's in the hospital and they're having church. Where was I at Tuesday, Sherry? I was at the hospital. You know, I was there before 6 in the morning to sit with people who are going through surgery. You know, I'm not saying this to brag, but don't tell me how busy you are, that you don't have time for God. Amen. Don't tell me where all you've been and what all you're doing. You don't have time for God. You got time for everything else that you want to do, but you don't have time for God. What aileth thee?
Amen.
You're snared by the devil. He's got you in bondage. He's done got you right where he wants you. You say, well, you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does. Amen. And there ain't no greater place to be if you're going through it. And nobody knows what you're going through. Then at the foot of the cross, amen, and in the presence of Jesus, Lord, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'd be in the midst. And praise God, I think there's two or three gathered here this morning in his name. And he's got whatever it is that you need for whatever it is you're going through that nobody else can know, nobody else can understand, no one else has ever experienced but you. But praise God, he's got just what you need this morning. What aileth you? So what aileth you? All of us are subject. None of us are immune. The Apostle Paul said, even I find myself succumbing. Even I find myself falling into the snares of the devil. I don't want to, but I do. Folks, we need to walk carefully. We need to be sure of where we're at and what we're doing. We need to see that our lives are ordered according to his will. In Hebrews chapter 2, Paul writing says, for as much as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. I tell you, if you say, well, it's impossible, there's no one that can, there's no one that will, there's no one that wants to, I want to tell you something right there. In Hebrews chapter 2, Paul said, Jesus took on him the seed of Abraham. He became just like we are, that he might abolish, and he might cancel out, he might set us free from the bondage that this world holds us in. Amen. And I tell you, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. We see her plight, her circumstance. She's a bondwoman. And as a bondwoman, she had very little say over what happened in her life. And one day, her mistress, her master, Sarah, got the bright idea. Well, I know how I can solve this problem. How many of you have had a bright idea in your life sometimes? Amen. You're going to solve your problems. Amen. How many of you just made the problem worse? Amen. When we try to solve our problems, it just gets worse. Amen. And one day Sarah had this bright idea. She was going to solve the problem of an heir to her husband Abraham, an heir that God had promised. And we see Abraham, the father of faith, the father of the faithful. But I tell you what, we can also see in Abraham a man who was able to screw things up pretty good in his life as well. Amen. God told him to leave his father's kindred, and what did he do? He took Lot with him. What did that cause? Nothing but problems. Amen. How we see Abraham wandering down into Egypt. How we see Abraham over in the promised land, and he's lying about his wife. She's my sister. Well, it was a half-truth, and a half-truth is still a lie. Amen. Amen. She's my sister and my wife. Amen. We see Abraham listening to Sarah as she plots and schemes this program to solve the problem. God has made a promise, and now Sarah has convinced herself that she has the answer for fulfilling God's promise. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need your help to fulfill His promises. He needs your obedience. Amen. He needs your trust and your dependence on Him. They concoct this plan, and who gets caught up in the middle of it? Hagar. She had no say. She had no choice. In the world in which she lived in, this was her lot. This was her responsibility. Sarah gave Abraham her bondwoman, her slave. And then after Hagar conceived a child, she forgot who she was. And she started walking around with her nose held high. She started looking at her master, her mistress, down her nose. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever let a little bit of pride build up in your life? You know what happens when pride gets lifted up? The Bible said a fall's about to come. Amen. Pride goeth before a fall. Amen. Hagar got lifted up in pride. I know some of God's people that have gotten lifted up in pride. Amen. I know some of God's people that are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good whatsoever. They're better than everybody else. They know more about God's word than anybody else. Amen. They can't worship with anybody else because ain't nobody else as spiritual as they are. Amen. You know them. Amen. You've met them. You've been around them. But then the next thing you know, the next thing you hear, man, where are they at? That was Mr. or Mrs. High and Mighty Spiritual. I heard they're down in the hog pen, wallering with the hogs now. Hey, man, y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you been there. Hey, man. Hagar gets a little prideful, and she begins to contend with her mistress, and her mistress begins to contend with her. Sarah went to Abraham and said, man, this bondwoman, she's done lifting herself up back in chapter 16. She's done got all high and mighty because now she's able to give you a child and I can't. And now she's pregnant and I can't get pregnant. And now I just can't deal with this. And Abraham, I says, deal with her like you want to deal with her. And she gets treated harshly. She didn't ask for this. It was forced upon her. But now she's being dealt with harshly. She didn't want to do this. I don't think she was sitting around oogling and ogling over this old man, 86 years old now. Hey, man, how many of you maids, how many young ladies look at an old man and think, wow, what a hunk. Hey, man, some of the old women do. Hey, man. Amen. But ain't none of the young ladies do, I can assure you. Amen. But this was forced upon her. So what's her reaction? Is she runs. She runs. Instead of getting her life in order, instead of dealing with things the way that she should do and the way that she needs to do, instead of being what she should be, the way that she should be, her reaction is to run. And you know, that's what happens to so many of us as Christians. Amen? We run. When things don't go our way, we run. When church isn't going our way, we run. Sadly, as Americans, when things aren't going right in our families, instead of trying to fix our families and instead of trying to repair our relationships, we run. Amen or ouch. It's the truth. Amen. Our parents are throwing kids away because they don't want to deal with the kids because they never were parents to begin with. They tried to be best friends and now things are going wrong and they throw the kids away. They don't try to mend and repair the relationship. They run. Hagar, she ran. And God found her sitting by the well. She was satisfying herself at the well. And she was sitting there. And she was running. And God says, Hagar, where are you going? She said, well, I'm running from my mistress. She couldn't never say. She never said where she was going. Go back and read that 16. God says, where are you going? He didn't ask her where she come from. He'd ask her where she was going. But all she could do was talk about where she'd come from. You know why? Because she didn't have a clue where she was going. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians today? They've got out of the will of God. They've run from God and they don't have a clue where they're running to. Amen. Amen. All they can do is talk about where they come from. All they can do is talk about what had happened. All they can do is keep going back in the past. Paul said, leaving the things which are behind, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ. Amen. Hey, God, where are you going? Well, God, let me just tell you where I've come from. Well, Hagar, why are you running if you don't know where you're going? Friend, why are you running this morning if you don't know where you're going? God's got a promise that he's made to Abram. He's got a promise that he's made to Sarah. And they try to finagle around God's promise, and someone else gets hurt along the way. But it doesn't change God's promises. You get hurt along the way and you want to run from God, but you can't tell God where you're going. Because you have no idea, you have no clue. Let me tell you where you're going. The prodigal son, he left home and he wound up in the far country. He wound up in bad company. He wound up down in the hog pen. Not just feeding the hogs, but eating with the hogs. Let me tell you where you're going. When Saul was killed and the word had come back to his household that he'd been killed. A nurse grabbed up a child of Jonathan, and she run. And she run. And as she was running, she fell. And she crippled the child, who remained a cripple for the rest of his life. Let me tell you something. Adults, when we don't stay faithful to the house of God, when we don't stay faithful to our Lord, when we don't stay faithful to our Master, we're hurting our children. We're crippling our children. Amen. Now Jonathan's son, whom David had promised to love and to look after and to cherish and care for and look well to his household, he didn't know where he was going, but he wound up down in Lodabar, as far away from the king as they could run. Peter and the disciples were in the garden with Jesus. When they come and took Jesus and bound him, he said, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep will scatter. And man, they were gone. Where'd they go? Some went and hid. Some walked afar off. Some couldn't identify. See, they lost sight of the promise that Jesus was going to be crucified. And in 3 days, he was going to raise again. But they followed afar off. You can't walk afar off and have a right relationship. You can't walk afar off and identify with the world and try to hide in the world. And when you get pointed out, and when folks say, hey, there's one of them. Oh, no, not me. I'm here. I'm afar off. Don't you see the crowd that I'm with? I'm one of them. I ain't one of them. I'm one of these. I'm not over there. I'm over here. Where are you going? You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction. He had to stop Hagar and remind her that he was still God. He had to stop Hagar and tell her that the promises of God are unfailing. And though sometimes we mess them up, and sometimes we screw them up, and sometimes we just confuse them completely, God is still God, and God is still going to honor his promises. He said, don't worry about it, Hagar. Go back. Go back in chapter 16 and read it. He said, I'm going to make of Ishmael the son that you're having. You're going to call him Ishmael. I'm going to make of him a great nation. And he'll be an archer. He'll be a wild man. His descendants are still alive. They're over there blowing themselves up, blowing people up, killing one another. They're still over there. Just as wild as God said they would be. Just a sure an assurance of the promises and the truth and the veracity of God's word. They're there, doing just what God said they would be doing, acting just like God said they would act. What aileth thee? Where are you going? Are you running to Jesus or from Jesus? It doesn't matter what your plight is. God's promise is still the same. And not only is his promise the same, his provision will always be the same. She set the child down under a shrub. The Bible says she went a ways away and sat down under a tree about the distance of a bow shot. Now, this is her 17-year-old son. They got sent away with a loaf of bread and a jug of water into the desert. Don't ever depend on people to take care of you. Don't ever depend on someone to look after you. The Bible said our God reminds us time and again that He is the one we need to look to for our daily provision. He's the one we need to look to for what we need. He said, I will supply all your needs. That's what Paul said. He'll supply all our needs according to His riches in heaven. God said, I will supply your needs. You'll never want your needs. Amen. Not your wants, but you'll never want for your needs. You might want for your wants, but you'll never want for your needs if you trust me. Some of the old Christians found their needs were supplied down at the jailhouse.
That's right.
Amen. But their needs were supplied. Some of them found out that their needs were supplied in forced labor as the Romans persecuted the Christians and rounded them up and sent them to labor camp, just like Brother Peter Sorovchak. Amen. Went to that labor Russian or communist labor camp. As a young man, I need to get him back here. Some folks ain't got to hear Brother Peter. Amen. But God is faithful. And God has promised His provision. Here she's dependent on what Abraham gave them. And it's done run out. Amen. It's done run out. That jug of water, that loaf of bread, it's gone. They're in the desert. The wilderness of Beersheba. There's nothing there. She sets Ishmael down under the shrub here. She goes a bow shot about 1,000 feet away to sit down so she wouldn't have to look in the kid's face when he died and shriveled up and died. She didn't know whether he would die first or she would die first. She didn't know what kind of agony it would be. But all she was thinking about, no doubt in her mind, I can't believe that Abraham sent me out here like this. I can't believe that Abraham done this to me. I can't believe Abraham and all that he had didn't provide for me. You know what? When you start worrying about people providing for you, you're worried about the wrong thing. When you start worried about providing for yourself, you're worried about the wrong thing. And God spoke to her and said, Hagar, what aileth thee? And she said, oh, it's so bad, Lord. Look at what's going to happen. My son is going to die. I'm going to die. We're going to perish. And God said, don't you remember the promise? Don't you remember the promise? What ails you this morning? God has promised you the gift of eternal life. What ails you this morning? God said He would never leave you nor forsake you. He'd walk with you all the way. What ails you this morning? God said in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What ails you this morning? God said, look, people are going to hate you just because you love me. You'll be hated for my sake and for my name. He said, what ails you this morning? They hated me. They're going to hate you. What ails you this morning? God's promises are still real. I'm still saved, though many don't like me. Amen. I'm still saved, though many have lied about me. I'm still saved, though I've been abused and taken advantage of. I'm still saved, irregardless of what has happened in things in my life. Praise God, He's still on the throne in heaven, and He's still on the throne of my heart. Why? Because His promises endure for all generations. He's still God. He's still God. And I can rest on those promises of His provision for my life. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth, ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in every thing to bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God. He's going to supply my needs. He's faithful and he can't lie. And God had promised that he would. God will meet my need. God has supplied my need. He has everything that you want. Hagar was weeping and crying, but the Bible doesn't say who she was crying to. She was a slave out of Egypt, but praise God, Ishmael no doubt was doing the same thing, and he lifted his voice, and God said, I heard the lad's voice. I wonder if sometimes we pray vainly unto God, but sometimes we pray with sincerity in our heart, knowing that what God has promised, he will deliver because he's faithful. Amen. He's got salvation for the lost. He's got hope for the hopeless. He's got strength for the weak. He's got provision for the needy. He's got forgiveness for the fallen. He's got restoration for the broken. And praise God, whatever it is that you need this morning, and whatever you're struggling with, or whatever you're going through, however it is you've been misused and abused and cast aside, praise God, he's got whatever it is that you need. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.